This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 6:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And our next story is quite a heavy one, but I think one that is important to talk about. And this is about what SOPs are like for detainment in police stations, particularly when it involves minors, and how we can improve that. So the main impetus for this is that a 16-year-old girl was allegedly raped by a male detainee in a lockup at a police station in Sarawak.
Yeah, so this has given rise to a lot of questions on what exactly the SOPs are for these sorts of detainments. What are the holes in this system? So just to sort of walk you through what happened, the incident happened on the 9th of January. The teenager had been detained by the police at a seafood restaurant in Miri where she was working, and she was suspected to have been involved in an illegal gambling case. So she was taken to the lockup where she was the only female in a cell, and in a separate cell there were 12 other men, and she alleges that their cell was unlocked, and this rape is said to have happened at between 4 to 5 a.m. where one of the detainees allegedly opened the cell door with a key and took her into the bathroom.
So the teenager, along with her father, lodged a police report on the 9th to, and I quote, not just expose the unacceptable occurrence of a crime inside the police building, but to trigger a police probe. Two personnel who were on duty have been temporarily suspended while investigations are going on, and the male detainee has been charged under Section 3761 of the Penal Code for Rape. The case is set for re-mention at a court in Miri on February 9th.
So according to the Child Act, just to be clear, the court for children shall have the power to order the child to be detained in a police station, police cell or police lockup, separate or apart from adult offenders. Now, just to break that down a little bit, what that basically means is that when you have children being taken to lock up, minors, they should be separated from adults. But in this specific case, it was a girl, and there is an additional legal requirement as well, which is that girls must be placed under the care of a policewoman while they're in custody. From what's being said, these things were not adhered to.
So this is one of those times where I feel like talking about it on the radio almost doesn't... I've been shaking my head throughout simply because I can't believe the layers of wrongdoing, right, that needed to have occurred for something like this to even have happened. There's so many layers here of neglect, of not following what are pretty clear SOPs. And even if the SOPs weren't as clear, it's logical. If you have a girl child, that child should therefore be separated from adults. I think that in any normal setting, right, like if we take away the fact that this happened in detainment, in a lockup, logically speaking, nobody would ever make the argument of, oh yeah, you know, just throw that child in close to a bunch of other adults. It just really makes no sense.
And what this incident has done is actually bring to light, in a lot of the coverage that's happened in the subsequent days since it's happened, is more and more people, legal professionals, human rights groups coming out to talk about how, yes, these SOPs exist, but how often they're not actually followed. How many lockups are not even equipped to be able to separate children from adults, for instance. So this has brought up a lot of issues in terms of neglect, in terms of mismanagement, in terms of people failing to do their duties.
So you have SOPs. Were the personnel trained to know that these are the SOPs that they need to follow, because otherwise they can be charged in a court of law? Like, there's so many layers, like I keep saying. This is something that we want to examine in more detail. We want to know what the SOPs are for when somebody enters lockup, and specifically what that means for minors. So we're going to be speaking after this with Professor Datuk Nor Azia Mohamed Awal, who is the Children's Commissioner at Suhakam. That's coming your way shortly. Let us know what you think. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:30 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the SOPs for detainment in police stations. So what happens when somebody is taken into lockup and what where the holes are. This is coming again after a case where a 16-year-old girl was allegedly raped by a male detainee in a lockup in a police station in Sarawak, which has really highlighted this issue and brought it to the fore. So joining us now on the line to talk about this, Professor Datuk Nor Azia Muhammad Awal, Children's Commissioner at Suhakam. Prof Azia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So could you start by walking us through the SOPs when a person is brought into a police lockup? What needs to be followed?
I mean, the procedures, the lockup rules are there. And usually when, you know, it's been relating to children, when they are detained or being arrested by the police, usually they are not supposed to be even detained in police lockup unless there is no way to keep the child. So in a way, a lot of children, when they are arrested, the statement was taken, and then they should be taken to the court for children immediately, I mean, within 24 hours, and then they should be released on bail. So as far as the detention of children, and as far as the rules are concerned, children, if they have to be put in these police lockups, it must be a separate police lockup. They must be special lockup for children. They must be separate from adults. And of course, even when arresting children from place of arrest and taking them to the police station, they cannot be mixed with adult offenders or suspects.
And could you just elaborate a little bit on, just to relate it to this case, when it is a girl, is there additional SOPs in place?
Yes, of course. In relation to children, and in particular female, I mean, children, even they are male or female, they should be kept separate in separate lockups or separate detention centres or blocks. And then while from the place of arrest, to the police station, from the police station to the court, they must be brought in separate cars from adults, separate police cars. And then they also must be accompanied by a female officer. So that's for female and for children as well.
So you started us off, Prof, by saying that the rules are there, right? And they're quite clear. But based on your experiences then, are these SOPs generally enforced in practice, not just in theory?
I mean, the lockup rules has been there for some time, and probably, you know, it has been outdated. Maybe it should be looked at and you know, be amended. But as far as the children are concerned, in the Child Act 2001, it is very clearly stated that when a child is in conflict with the law, when there's an arrest being made, the child must be brought before the court for children immediately within 24 hours. The parents and the JKM officers, you know, the welfare officer must be informed of the arrest, and then they cannot be handcuffed. These are in the Child Act itself, and surely it was passed in 2001. And prior to that, we have the Juvenile Courts Act, and also it's part and parcel of the criminal justice system for children. So I don't know why, you know, this was not observed, and it has been there and has been refined under the Child Act 2001.
Now, looking at the specific case of the teenager in Miri, could you walk us through what some of those SOPs were that were breached?
Okay, one, to me, I don't know how another detainee, a male detainee, could have raped a female detainee. And it's either they were kept in the same detention or lockups, one, or the lockup is not being locked, whereby, you know, people can get access to it. And if you've been to see some of these police lockups, even the toilets are sometimes in the lockup itself. So sometimes it is outside, whereby you need, and there must be always someone that, you know, monitoring it so that they can call for them if the toilets are outside, something like that. So in a way, I don't know how it could have happened, and there is always a CCTV there. There must be something that people monitoring would be able to see the people in the lockup, how they're behaving and things like that. So this is something that I'm appalled because this girl was alleged to have been raped in the police lockup, and they are within. I mean, it was to me the most safest place as such because they should be kept separate, and they must be someone who, and the person that is monitoring these detainees are the police themselves. So.
Now, you mentioned CCTV, and we've also seen this huge push for CCTV cameras in police stations to be audited. Could you tell us what the current state is like of surveillance within police stations?
I mean, we see when we visited police station and also police lockups, they are, the CCTV is there. But what to me is that it is just for monitoring and not for recording. Because the purpose of CCTV is that if there's anything happened, you could go back to it. So if this has not been done, I don't know what is the state of the CCTV. Now, the one in Miri, that what we heard is that the CCTV is just meant for monitoring, for someone to sit there and keeping a watch. But I think CCTV is meant for you to record things, and then you probably will have to update it from time to time. So I fail to understand if police CCTV in the police lockups are not up to, updated and then not being used for recording things.
Prof Azia, you've talked about things being outdated. You've talked about things needing to be, gaps that need to be fixed. Could you tell me what are some of these gaps in the guidelines in general, and how do they need to be addressed?
I think basically the law has been there in terms of under the Child Act for children, specifically for adults, suspects. Also, the guidelines are already there, and then the SOP in terms of the prison lockup rules are also there, but it's like 19. Can't remember the year, but it's quite old, and you need to refine this in such a way that you must be able to because these suspects, people who are being detained in police lockup, they have not been charged, they have not been determined whether they are guilty or not, so they are innocent until proven guilty. So you must ensure that the lockups are safe, and then to ensure that they will be able to be taken to court later. So to me, these are certain SOP that the gap is that the law say one thing, but in practicality, I think, there's a lot of gaps in terms of what actually is happening at police lockups and how the police are handling this whole issue of keeping suspects in police lockups.
If we look to other countries, are there particular SOPs or actions that they are taking to ensure transparency when it comes to police detainment and protection of those who are in custody?
I think we don't have to look far. I mean, a lot of us know in other parts of the world, they actually observe rights of detainees in terms of, like, when you are arrested and then you are being told why you are being arrested, and then if they have to keep you in lockup before you could be released on bail. And these are the procedures that must be observed, because you must make sure, because this person, you have not charged them, you don't know whether he's guilty or not. Okay, that's number one. Number two, if you look, and right to a lawyer. I mean, if you look for children itself, the right for the parents to be informed and to be there when the children are under the custody of the police are there in the act, but whether it is actually being practiced. I mean, we do have a lot of complaints in terms of how the police are handling children detainees. So the gap is not actually the law, but the practice. In terms of what is actually being implemented and what is actually was supposed to be implemented by the police in that respect. So what we have is from, if you look at what the English law have, Americans are even more centric. They have a right to a phone call. They have, when they are being questioned, they can have a lawyer there. So we have all those principle, but I mean, the argument would still be, oh, we can't question these children or all these suspects with their parents being around or with a lawyer being around. I think there must be ways in which, how, if others can do it, why can't we do the same?
So investigations are being made into this alleged rape. How will Suhakam be following up on this?
I mean, as a children commissioner, I have released made a statement yesterday. It was published, and I was appalled by what has happened. And I would really, you know, urge the police to take quick actions immediately, and at least, you know, the investigation must proceed immediately in terms of the alleged rape, and then those officers who are responsible for what is happening, what has happened, must be responsible and must be taken into, you know, some actions must be done to them, at least disciplinary. Or it, to me, it's pure negligence. I mean, if you look at, because they kept, they took in the child in terms of arresting them and kept them in a police lookout, and the child has been raped. It's like the police is the custodian at that time of that child. And if you look at the child, like, there are cases where, if you are negligent, you can also be charged on that because you are negligent in looking after and monitoring a child detainee in your police lockup.
Prof. Azia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Professor Datuk Nor Azia Mohamed Awal, Children's Commissioner at Suhakam, talking to us about the need for stricter SOPs and enforcement. I think that was the key point when it comes to detaining minors in police stations. We've been asking you for your thoughts, and we have messages.
So Abby says, excuse me, rape of a female child in police detention. It's not only SOPs that's not being followed. There's a lack of common sense. Some heads should roll for this.
Yes, exactly, Abby. Meanwhile, we also have an anonymous message that says, in schools, teachers are assisted by class monitors and prefects check the students' compliance with school rules. In companies, banks, business corporations, we have internal and external auditors to ensure that we remember to comply with the SOPs. I'm sure government bodies have the same checks. So with the increasing oversight being revealed in this, do we therefore need to audit the effectiveness of these auditors? And at this point, I would just like to bring up one acronym, and that is the IPCMC.
Absolutely. We also have Su Ang, who says this incident shows us all that there is a systemic breakdown in the moral discipline, law and order in the police force. How could this happen right in a police station? I shake my head over this, and my heart goes out to this young girl. I think that captures what many of us reading and hearing about this incident feel. You know, both the tragedy of what happened as well as the anger that a lot of us should rightfully feel.
Yes, and I think, you know, every time we talk about justice, especially when it comes to violent crimes, when it comes to sexual crimes, the hope is for there to be some form of justice. But the flip side of that is the grief that it ever happened. You know, so while you hope that something is going to be resolved, that we are going to see some, not good, but that we are going to see some sort of resolution come for this, especially for the teenager and her family, I think just the idea that it ever happened at all is unconscionable. Let us know what you think. We're talking today about the rules and SOPs and the enforcement or lack thereof that govern this when it comes to the detainment of minors in police lockups. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading on to the 6:30 news. Before that, we have some music coming your way. Here are the Kooks with Seaside, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.